This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
One of the major sins is to say that you saw in a dream, you saw something in a dream and you didn't see it. So if someone didn't see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a dream, and they said they saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a dream, and they didn't, and they're lying about it, it's a major sin. It's a major sin. Why is it a major sin? Because you're lying about Allah. You're lying about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, when you lie about other things, you know, it's haram. But to lie about Allah is even greater. That's the greatest lie. That's the greatest lie that, you know, that a person can make up. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كبرت كلمة تخرج من أفواههم إن يقولون إلا كذبا. And you know, though, what a horrific word that they say that comes from their mouth. All they say about Allah concerning Allah is lies. And this is when you're speaking about lies, when you're speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you're lying about it, the punishment or the sin is even greater. And that's why when you lie about the deen, it's greater. And when you lie about the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's one of the major sins. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man kathaba alayya muta'ammidan, falyatabawwa maq'adahu min an-nar." Whosoever lies about me intentionally, then let him take his place in the hellfire. That means you're reserving your place in the hellfire. So when you're lying about saying that you saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or saying that you saw something in a dream that you didn't see, it is lying about Allah. And that's why it's such a great, that's why the sin is so great, so much greater than just any lies. You know, that's why the Prophet said, lying about me is not like lying about any other person, right? Because it's connected to the deen, right? And so the first thing that the Prophet saw was righteous dreams. And righteous dreams are a glad tiding, but you're never sure. So when somebody sees something, you know, something like, say, you see something that will happen in the future, does that contradict belief in the unseen? Because we say that only Allah knows the future. So if you're saying that someone can receive revelation here, that they know the future, wouldn't that contradict the fact that we know the fact that Allah only knows the future? Is it? It's not really knowing the future, because you're never sure until it happens. Are you 100% sure? No. You just hope and you take it as glad tidings. But nobody is 100% sure, right? And so you don't really know the future. It's just, these are glad tidings. It's just good news for you. Take it and be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and hope and look forward to seeing that good that's going to come. But you don't really know the future, because it's not, you never know if it's going to happen or not until it actually happens. It happened, oh yeah, that was true. Then you don't really know the future, because it just happened right now. That's when you became sure, 100% sure, when it actually happened, which is no longer the future. And the second thing is, sometimes Jibreel alayhi salam, مَا كَانَ يُلْقِيهِ الْمَلَكُ فِي رَوْعِهِ وَقَلْبِهِ مِنْ غَيْرِ أَنْ يَرَاهُ. Sometimes the Jibreel, he reveals it directly to the Prophet ﷺ's heart, directly to him. And so then he's without seeing Jibreel. So he doesn't see anything, but it's from Jibreel. So from Jibreel. And the revelation comes to the Prophet ﷺ, and he receives it directly without seeing Jibreel. Okay, remember the first time, what did he come? He saw Jibreel. Jibreel squeezed him. He said, "Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq." And sometimes he doesn't see Jibreel, but he receives it directly. And sometimes, so this is one occasion, is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Inna ruh al-Qudus." Indeed, the Holy Spirit, meaning the Jibreel, right? إِنَّ رُوحَ الْقُدُسِ نَفَثَ فِي رَوْعِي. نَفَثَ فِي رَوْعِي. He has He has blown into myself. I mean, his soul, his self, and his heart, and so forth. أنه لن تموت أنه لن تموت نفس حتى تستكمل رزقها. That a person will not die. Jibreel has blown into me. This is who? This is, of course, revelation. How does Jibreel know? From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he has blown into me that no one will die. No one will die unless until his rizq has already been completed. That means when the day that you were born, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the angels to write down your rizq. That means your provisions, your money, whether you're wealthy or rich. So don't worry about it. Whatever, you will not die if it has already been written for you, that you'll get this amount, that you're going to get that amount. And you won't get any more, and you won't get any less. So don't worry about it. So if you know, yes, you go, just go out and try your very best and do your best. And some people might say, why is he like such a billionaire, right? And so rich, and he hardly does anything. Yeah, you do the best that you can. But you know, you put your trust in Allah and you go out and go work and do the best that you can. And don't worry too much. Because if it's already written for you, you will get it. And you also will only get what you have been, has already been written for you. You don't know how much that is. You don't know how much, and you don't know how much left. For some of us, maybe we have a lot left. And some of us, we don't have a lot left. Because we're not going to live in this earth for that long. And some of us will live longer than others. So nobody knows when. But at the same time, don't worry about it too much, because whatever is coming to you will come to you. And whatever is not coming to you will not come to you. Right? So some people might say, for example, oh, la ilaha illallah, you know, if only I did this and only I did that, I would have been a millionaire, right? No, Allah has already written for you. If Allah wrote that you would be a billionaire, you're going to be a billionaire no matter what happens. Inshallah. So you understand? So don't worry about it too much. You know, just go out and do your best and spend your time in that which is beneficial in the worship of Allah. In the worship of Allah. And it's everything is, you know, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. If you know that, then have taqwa in Allah. What does that mean? In your rizq also. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَأَجْمِلُوا فِي الطَّلَبِ. And may fear Allah, and when you're seeking something, take that which is best. Meaning, when you're looking for something, take from that which is halal. Right? Because let's say Allah wrote for you $100,000 this year. Let's say you get $100,000 this year. You're going to get $100,000, okay? But if you steal, you're still going to get $100,000. If you work hard, you're going to get that $100,000. So the $100,000 is either going to come from stealing or it's going to come from. And so that's why don't go around looking for things that are haram. You know, sometimes the wealth, the money that comes to you is like, okay, this, if I do this, oh, but if I don't do that, I might not make the money. Right? So some people, they might open a restaurant. And they might say, you know, if I don't sell alcohol, then I'm not going to get customers. Right? This is an area that, you know, you have a lot of people. You know, we're living in America. If I don't sell alcohol, you know, I'm not going to make money. So if I don't, then inshallah, if I don't, then I'm not going to make money. If I do, then I'll make more money. Right? No. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. Fear Allah. Whatever is coming to you will come to you. If Allah wrote for you that you get $100,000 inshallah this year, then you're going to get $100,000 even if you don't sell alcohol. Like, because it's coming to you. You either choose the haram way or a halal way. As you choose the halal way, then Allah will put blessing in it. We'll put barakah in your wealth, so that $100,000, you inshallah, will make you happy. Otherwise, maybe the $100,000 will lead you into more haram. You might end up having more headaches. You might end up having a lot of other problems. Sometimes, you know, you get sick, and sometimes you get this and that, this and that happens. And so, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Fattaqullaha wa ajmilu fit talab." In this hadith, here, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, he said, "Inna ruh al-Qudus," the angel Jibril came and blew into me. So this was, is this an ayah? No, it's not. This is how the Prophet ﷺ receives information. This is how he received revelation. And revelation from the Prophet, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's revelation that's Quran, and there's revelation that is information. Revelation that's information. And revelation sometimes comes through. Of course, the Prophet ﷺ does not speak of his own whims and desires. Allah says, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُّ يُوحَىٰ. He does not speak of from his own desires. It is but revelation that is revealed. And so that's the second way. It goes straight to him. The third type, the third way that the revelation comes to the Prophet ﷺ, أَنَّهُ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam يَتَمَثَّلُ لَهُ الْمَلَكُ رَجُلًا. So sometimes a man, Jibreel will come, or the angel will come as a man. فَيُخَالِتُهُ حَتَّى يَعِي عَنْهُ مَا يَقُولُ لَهُ. And so then he comes to him, he tells him about what is being revealed until he understands. And then the Prophet ﷺ receives that information directly from the angel who has come in the form of a man. An angel, like Jibreel, coming to the form of a man. Anyone know of an incident that happened? Anybody know?
Yeah.
We've been studying about the hadith of Jibreel, right? Yeah. That Jibreel came in the form of a man. He came in the form of a man dressed in all white. لَا يُرَى عَلَيْهِ أَثَرُ السَّفَرِ. Nobody saw the signs of a traveler. If you're not from the city, if you're not from the area, in the old days, if somebody's coming to you and they're coming from far away, they're very dirty, right? Because they've been traveling in the desert and with the sand and the heat, and in the dirt, and so they are not clean. Usually, it's not especially if they're wearing white, right? You can see the effects of it, and so sometimes Jibreel will come. And he would tell the Prophet ﷺ. Sometimes this happens in front of the companions, and sometimes this happens, of course, when the Messenger of Allah ﷺ is alone. And remember, we mentioned that whenever he would come, he likes to come in the form of the most handsome companion. Anybody who that companion was? You guys remember? Dhihya al-Kalbi. Yeah, very good, mashallah. So he used to come in the form of a man who was very, 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 very handsome, the most handsome of the companions. Why? So that it wouldn't attract so much attention, right? Because if he came in the form of a stranger, people would be worried, right? And so what's another one? Another way that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam received revelation, annahu kana ya'tihi fi mithli salsalati al-jaras. Sometimes it would come to him just like the ringing of a bell. Just like the ringing of a bell. And here, وَكَانَ أَشَدُّهُ عَلَيْهِ. This is the one that was most difficult on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And sometimes on a hot day or a cold day, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would still be sweating as a result of it. And sometimes if he was riding on something, riding on an animal, the animal would not be able to handle it, and he would fall. Like the weight of revelation would cause the animal to kneel down as a result of it. And so that's why one of the most difficult ways that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would receive revelation. And the fifth way that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would receive revelation is annahu yara al-malak fi suratihi allati khuliqa alayha. And sometimes he would see Jibreel in his original form. He would see Jibreel in his original form. فَيُوحِي إِلَيْهِ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ أَيُوحِيهِ. And so sometimes this occurs, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he would receive revelation, and he would see Jibreel. And you know how he would see Jibreel? Jibreel is so huge that he would fill the horizon. He would fill the horizon. So Jibreel isn't just a small angel, like the same size. When he came in the form of a man, he's taking a different form. His original form is huge. His original form is huge, and with not just like, you know, just, you know, you see like two wings, like they have wings, but how do the wings look like? Allah knows best how the wings are. You understand? When it's something of the unseen, we can't imagine it. You call them wings, but they're not the same. They're wings that are befitting of Jibreel, right? If you see it, you'll know it's a wing. Like, for example, if I said an airplane has a wing, is an airplane a wing the same as a bird wing? It's not. If you tell somebody, you say, you know, I have something that I ride on, and maybe 300 years ago, that it has wings, and then I get on it and it flies. It flies on wings. So what do you think they're thinking? They're thinking the wing is moving, right? The airplane wings move? Let's hope not, because if it moves too much, then you're in trouble, right? The wings stay still, right? But you call them wings. So how are the wings of Jibreel? Allah knows best what the wings of Jibreel looks like, but we know that it stretches and it covers the whole of the horizon. The whole of the horizon. So that's one way. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah An-Najm, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the Prophet and the Messenger of himself also mentioned in a couple of hadith that he saw Jibreel in his original form. The sixth type, ما أوحاه الله وهو فوق السماوات وفوق السماوات. And sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the heavens. To the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That happened on which occasion? The Mi'raj, the five daily prayers. When he went up, he went, and when he got to the Sidratul Muntaha, the end of the lote tree, Jibreel. What did Jibreel say? You know, this is my limit. I can't go any further. Right? I can't go anymore. This is the boundary. I can't go. I don't have permission. I don't have visa to go. Right here. I don't have. Only you. And right there. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Did he see Allah? The stronger opinion is that he didn't see Allah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala communicated to him. Spoke to him, communicated to him directly to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Prophet Musa did receive, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to him directly. But the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam also was spoken to directly. And so this was in the situation, the shows the importance of prayer. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he revealed the five daily prayers, it was 50 prayers. From the very beginning, it was 50 prayers, and it was direct to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam without any intermediary, without anyone in between. And so that's something that happened in the Mi'raj. Mi'raj, Isra, is a night journey to Bayt al-Maqdis. The Mi'raj is when he went up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another one is what we mentioned, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking to the seventh type is Allah speaking to him directly. So kalam Allahi lahu minhu ilayhi bila wasita, bila wasita al-malik. So he speaks to him directly without any intermediary. And of course, we know that this is mentioned in the Quran about Prophet Musa. وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to him directly. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in this verse, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. Just to make sure that, no, did he speak to him directly? Yeah, تَكْلِيمًا here is directly, like the way how you would speak. And yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to Prophet Musa directly. And of course we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the light of the night of Mi'raj. Thumma urija bihi, and then he ascended until he got to the level where he said أسمع فيه صريف الأقلام. He said, I would, to the point where I would hear so high that this is, you know, the pens, you know, like the writing of the pen. He could hear the writing of the pen. Subhanallah. You know, when the pen writes, it makes noises. There's certain noises also. And so this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned. So he went all the way up. And this was, of course, as we mentioned, this is something that's direct to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, اِقْرَأْ بِاسْمِ رَبِّكَ الَّذِي خَلَقْ خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ عَلَقْ. And then many of the other revelations started to come. Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, يَا أَيُّهَا الْمُزَّمِّنَ يَا أَيُّهَا الْمُدَّثِّرَ. Afterwards, now, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before, he was just a regular person. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after revealing the message to him, Allah tells them to deliver this message. So in the delivering of the message, there are marahil, there are phases, different phases of da'wah. So the phases of da'wah are five phases. There are five phases of da'wah. And this is very, very important for us to understand. Why? Because there's hikmah and there's wisdom in learning the phases of da'wah. Because you don't speak to people the same way. And you know, if they're not ready to accept it, right? And so there are different phases. So the first phase, of course, the first phase is an-nubuwa, is prophethood. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam received revelation, and then he is now a prophet. Is there a difference between a prophet and a messenger? Some people say, oh, a prophet is one who is ordered to deliver the message. A messenger is one who's ordered to deliver the message. So some people, they say, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اِقْرَأْ بِاسْمِ رَبِّكَ الَّذِي خَلَقْ, he was a prophet. And then when Allah revealed, يَا أَيُّهَا الْمُدَّثِرُ قُمْ فَأَنذِرْ, or go out and warn the people. That means deliver the message. When you're ordered to deliver the message, then you become a messenger. This is what some people say. But the stronger opinion is that the prophets and messengers of God are all ordered to deliver the message. Do you understand? It doesn't make sense for someone, oh, I'm a prophet. Okay, I don't have to deliver the message. I'll just sleep here now. La ilaha illallah, alhamdulillah. I'm successful. You guys can all die. You guys can all go, you know, suffer. The hereafter, we don't care. I'll enter Jannah, and what happens to you guys, I don't care. Right? No. That doesn't make sense, right? How can you be given the message and not order to deliver it? Right? Not order to deliver it. So all the prophets and messengers of Allah are ordered to deliver, whether he's a prophet or not, to order to teach. And of course, but the difference is, if your people accept from you, if you're sent to a people who are already Muslims, then you're a prophet. And if you're sent from to a people who don't believe in you, then you are a messenger. Because you're sent, you get the message and you're delivering the message to them, because they don't have the message yet. Do you understand? They don't have the message yet. So you're a messenger, you deliver the message that they don't have. That they don't have. If you're, and so all prophets, are there prophets that are not messengers? Yes. Because they are people who don't need to deliver the message. They just already have the message of La ilaha illallah. During the time of Prophet Adam, all his children were Muslim already. He doesn't need to deliver the message and worship Allah alone. Everybody already worships Allah alone, right? Nobody denies the existence of Allah, or no one denies the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. So you already have that. So that's a prophet. And that's why the first prophet is who? Prophet Adam alayhi salam. But who is the first messenger? So that means that Nuh was a messenger, and Prophet Adam alayhi salam was not a messenger. You understand? He's not a messenger. He's the first man and first prophet, man and prophet. But he's not the first messenger. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the first messenger in the hadith of the Shafa'at al-Kubra al-Uthma, in the intercession of the major intercession on the Day of Judgment, that they, when the people go to him, to Prophet Nuh, they say, you are the first messenger. You are the first messenger. That means before him, there were no other messengers. Why? Because before him, everyone was Muslim. There's no message to deliver. The message was already with them. You know, there's already a message. They already have the message. What are you delivering? All you do is remind. You're not bringing anything. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He sends a messenger, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to the people of Mecca, and they rejected him. So they were not Muslims. They were idol worshippers. And he's calling them to the worship of Allah. And Prophet Musa was sent to who? Sent to Bani Israel and Fir'aun. اذهب إلى فرعون إنه طغى. Go to Fir'aun, go to Pharaoh. Was he Muslim? Of course not. Right? So he was sent to a people who didn't believe in him. Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam sent to his people. They didn't believe in him. So he's a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Prophet Nuh and Prophet Isa was sent to Bani Israel. Did they believe in him? No. What did they say? What did they say? Do they believe in him now?
No.
No. They still don't believe him. They're still waiting for him to come. Do you understand? So he's a messenger. Why? Because they didn't believe in him. They don't even say that he's a prophet, a messenger of God. What did they say? They call him the worst names. Yeah. They call him the worst names. So he's a messenger of God sent to Bani Israel. Were there some who believed in him? Yes. But the majority of them? No, they reject. They rejected his message. And so he's a messenger. So when you're sent to a people that don't believe in you or not Muslim, who don't accept your message, then you're a messenger. Then you are a messenger. So the first stage is an-nubuwwah. He's a prophet and messenger of God. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the second stage. He's a prophet and messenger of Allah, either way, right? But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends him, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ and warn thy closest kindred. Warn the people who are closest to you. So the first stage is what? First stage of da'wah is your family. So that helps us also. Who do you focus? Focus on yourself. Be good, be a good Muslim. The first person, first people that you teach, that you call to, you remind to pray and you call people, they are your family members. Your wife, your children, your relatives, your aunts and uncles, they're the first ones that you should deliver the message to, because they're the closest one to you. So the second of the five stages of da'wah is family da'wah. Start with the family. And then after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered him to call his people. Ya ayyuhal muddathir, qum fa'anthir, wa rabbaka fa'kabbir, wa thiyabaka fa'tahir. Go and call the people. Now he started, so that's the third stage. Is calling who are his people? The Quraysh. Very good. The Quraysh. He starts with his own family, and he starts with the people who are closest to him. Then he calls the Quraysh. And then after that, Indhar qawmin ma atahum min nadhir min qabli. Who? To call to the people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not send a warner before them. Who are they? The Arabs. Remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the prophets and messengers of before to Bani Israel. And every single people, they have their own prophets and messengers. Some of them are mentioned in the Quran, some of them are not. That means every people. Why? Because there are a lot of people on earth. If you send someone to a certain area, in those days you don't have airplanes, you don't have internet. If you're calling people, the only people who know you are the people who grew up with you, in your town, in your area. That's all. You can't go too far, right? And that's why the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, though, is a messenger to all of humanity, to everybody, to all of humanity. And that's why the companions went far and wide. They went far and wide. And actually the Christians, what they are doing in terms of making da'wah is contradictory to what Prophet Isa taught them. Even in the Bible, I have not been sent except to the lost sheep of Israel. That's in their own books. What did Prophet Isa, Jesus is recorded to have said in their own book? I have not been sent. No, except for to the lost sheep of Israel. So that's okay. Who is he sent to? Bani Israel, right? Bani Israel. And so later on, their people took it all over, right? So all over. Who is that prophet that was for everybody? وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We have not sent you except as a mercy for all, not only all of humans, the jinn also. Oh, and you might say, why? Well, because Allah knows that after His time, after that time, that people will be connected. People will be connected. In the old days, people were connected during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and afterwards, the companions went everywhere. Where did they go? They went everywhere. Where did they go? They went from the Arabian Peninsula. And that's exactly why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose that area, because it's in the middle, called the Middle East. It's actually the middle of the world. It's the middle. You might think, what's the middle of the world? You want to go to Africa? Right there. You go to Asia? It's right there. Europe is right there. Okay, America is a little bit further. Right? But everything, wherever the people used to live, was that area. In that area. So when the companions left, they went. That's in the middle. And why is Mecca in the middle, by the way? It's because that's where the land started. Because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first created everything, what was it? On earth, what was it? Water. There's water, there's nothing. There's water. And you know what? According to geology, when earth first formed, what was it? It was water. And then land started coming as a result of everything. You know, this is according to science, right? And it's not something that contradicts what we have. It's just that, you know, these are scientists who studied. They weren't there when it happened, but after they're studying about how volcanoes work. And so the first place that earth, that land formed, anybody know where that is? In Mecca. Inna awwala bayti wudi'a lin-nas lalladhi bi Bakkata mubarakah. But also that was the middle. And you might, you know, how do you know it's the middle? If you look at some geological books, when they have what's called, remember all the land? America, South America and North America. If you look at the continent, what does it look like? It looks like puzzle pieces, as if you can put them all together, right? If you look at Africa, you know, the west coast of Africa and the east coast of South America, they look like puzzle pieces that will click, that will connect, right? In the same way with the other pieces, right? The other pieces. Then Australia fell down right there by themselves. They started drifting down. And you know, and if you look at Africa also in the eastern part, and if you look at Asia, you'll see that you can put all of them together. And they looked at that and they said, you know what? This used to be one together. So where did it start? The land. They used to call it Pangaea when everything was one landmass. And when that landmass started, do you know if you put all those puzzle pieces together, what's in the middle? What's in Mecca? Mecca's right in the middle. That's the middle. You put everything back. You put it in the back, put everything back together. Everything right in the middle is Mecca. That's every, you know, what do you call it? Africa went down this way and then it broke off this way. Europe went that way. You put everything back together, right in the middle. It's the middle of the earth. Right in the middle of the earth. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to all of humanity because he knows, he's all knowing, and he knows what's going to come. Like right now, the whole world is one village. It's like one village. You know, in the village, something happens in the village, you hear it right away, right? Right away. If something happens, like at the end of the village, the last house in the village, the other side hears it right away if something big happens. Right now it's the same thing. We hear it right away. You are so far away. You wake up and you hear about an earthquake in Turkey. We were not there, but it's like one village, the information. So the same way when it comes to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everybody knows about Muslims. Everyone knows, has access to Islam. You want to study about Islam? You can study about Islam. There are Muslims everywhere, besides the fact that there are Muslims almost everywhere. Then also, you can have access and you can communicate with any Muslim, even if you're not living in a city where there are Muslims. Right? And you can still communicate. So it's like the whole village is one world. The whole world is one village. And that's why also some of the scholars have mentioned also when it comes to the difference of opinion that's coming up. Well, what are we talking about? The hilal, the crescent, right? The sighting of the crescent, right? We have every year we have moon sighting, every single year, right? Should you fast or should you not fast? Hey, they saw the crescent, we didn't see the crescent. Should we fast or should we not fast? And so this is based on, you know, the old days also, it was more difficult to communicate. Somebody sees over there, it's cloudy over here, you don't get the information. But now, somebody in Europe sees the crescent, they have proof for it, and they see it, you hear it right away. All the way here in the western part of the United States, you hear it right away. Right? And the sun hasn't even set in our place yet. And we already hear about it already. So that's why some of the scholars are mentioning, well, we're just like one village right now. That's why if the sighting is there, then it should be applicable also. Others have, of course, there's the difference of opinion concerning this. They have said, you know what, no, wait, it's different because just like when we pray at different timings because of that. But when it comes to prayer, of course, that's different. But when it comes to the sighting of the moon, you have to understand you only sight one time, and after that, if it's already sighted, then of course it's going to be clearer after that, and the people who come afterwards, it will be easier for them to see. It will be easier because the older the moon, is, the easier it is to see. But if they didn't see it yet, of course, then they wait till the next day to fast if it's already past them. And so we know that, you know, it starts from the east to the west, just like the sun rises from the east to the west. The moon also, well, the sighting of the moon starts from the east and it goes all the way to the west. And so we are pretty much at the end. And that's why I always tell people, I live in the end of the world. We're at the end. Far from everything. This is the end, right? After this, the Pacific Ocean, the largest ocean. So we live in the end of the world right now in Seattle. That's why when you want to go somewhere, you have to take 14-hour flights, 13-hour flights. Even in the United States, you have to go very far. Wallahu ta'ala. So we said the fourth is the inzar, to call people, the Arabs, all of them. So the Prophet ﷺ was all ordered to call all of the Arabs. And then the fifth and final is to reach everyone, humans and jinn, until the end of time. That's the da'wah. That's the final stage. And that's why, what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam do? He sent messengers. When he defeated the Arabs, right? After Al-Hudaybiyah, when they stopped fighting and they had an agreement in Arabia, or agreement pretty much in Arabia, there's a peace treaty, and that's the treaty of Al-Hudaybiyah. After that, the Messenger of Allah sent in letters to call people to Islam. He sent to all of the kingdoms and all the emperors and kings around, to An-Najashi, to Heraclius, to the emperor of Persia, and to Yemen, to Bahrain, to Egypt, everywhere. He sent to all the leaders, inviting them to Islam. Inviting them to Islam. So he was sent to all. The other prophets and messengers of God, they were sent to specific people. They weren't sent to all of them. So you don't hear about Prophet Musa alayhi salam going away from that area. Hey, Prophet Musa, why didn't he go to China? Why didn't he go to China? He wasn't ordered to go to China. He wasn't ordered to call the people. But the Prophet ﷺ sent the companions as far as they could go. And of course they ended up all the way in China, and also even Indonesia, Malaysia. Who got to us there? Who got to that area? The merchants that came from Yemen, right? And that's why you even have in Indonesia, you have a Yemeni community there. Right? Even now, you have like Yemeni community. They went all the way from Yemen and ended up all the way in the islands of Indonesia to this day. To this day, they're still there, right? And they came and they called people to La ilaha illallah. They called people to La ilaha illallah. And then, of course, now you have... So that's the da'wah itself. And... So that's in general. That during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what was the stages of da'wah in the seerah? The stages. What's the difference between this? Well, when we're talking about the stages of da'wah in the seerah, it means that how did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam start in the seerah, and what were different stages? Because there were different stages in the da'wah. And then we're mentioning this because we're going to cover it, inshallah, each stage. The first stage is a da'wah sirriyah. This is the personal da'wah stage, and this is the first 3 years. The first 3 years. How did this, what did this stage and phase look like? What did this stage and phase look like? So because the Prophet ﷺ is now ordered to call the Quraysh, right? So that's the first stage. So how did the Prophet, what did the Prophet ﷺ do? Right, his people. The first thing was, of course, he started with his family, and now he has to call the Quraysh. You can't. He goes up and he's inviting them, right? But for the first 3 years, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the first 3 years, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu did not go out and invite people publicly. He started inviting people individually, and some people accepted Islam, and they did not let anyone know. Why? Because if they let anyone know, then they would be tortured. They would be tortured. They would be harmed. They would be made fun of. And so sometimes it's difficult for them. So this is a stage that Umar ibn Khattab's sister, when she accepted Islam, she didn't tell her family. Right? Umar didn't even know. Umar ibn Khattab did not know that his sister accepted Islam. And the Muslims would meet in Dar al-Arqam. Al-Arqam ibn Abi al-Arqam. And they met in Dar al-Arqam because he was someone who others did not expect him to accept the message, because it was very, very tribal, and the tribe that was the rival tribe, the arch enemy in terms of the rival tribe of Banu Hashim was who? Banu Makhzum, and they were the tribe of Abu Jahl. The tribe Abu Jahl, Banu Makhzum, they hated. They were always competing. You know, there's some tribes always, they don't like each other. You know, they don't like to get married to each other. And then if their daughters like someone from the other tribe, no, we don't marry that person. You don't know what his great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather did. Right? Yeah. You know what they did? Right? And it's like, La ilaha illallah. They go way in the past. You don't know. They're not the same people. That's like how many generations before. One person did something bad, ruined the reputation of the whole family, whole tribe, right? And so, you know, that's why that was in Jahiliyyah. And that still happens in some Muslim cultures, right? Right? You don't allow them to marry from this tribe because they have a reputation for this and that. Even though that brother must be, mashallah, maybe the most practicing, amazing brother, kind, nice, everything. No, he's from that tribe. No, no. So they had the same thing. They had the clans also, arch rivals, the ones that they hate each other, was Banu Hashim and Banu Makhzum. And so there were some people who accepted Islam, and he was amongst them, Al-Arqam ibn Abi al-Arqam. He hid his Islam. Why? Because this was personal. And so some people would accept Islam. Like Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, he said that there was one third of Islam. And then if you look at the people who accepted Islam, oh no, there are more Muslims than that. Why would you say you're one third? Because he thought that he was the third only. He thought because he didn't know any other Muslims. Abu Bakr, yeah, okay, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's it. Any other Muslims? Yes, there are many other Muslims, but they didn't come out. Right, and so what's the point in that? What's the lesson in this? The lesson in this is, if you want to start something, you want to have a strong core group first. Do you understand? You want to have a strong core group, people whom you can work with. Let's say, for example, you want to start an organization or a community or Islamic school. Who do you go to first? Do you go make an announcement? Brother, I want to start an Islamic school. Who wants to join? Raise your hand. Is that going to work? No, because there are some people, yeah, they'll raise their hand, but you know what they're going to do? They'll ruin it. They won't help. They won't help. They just want, like, you know, if you just want fame and name and so forth, it's not going to work. They don't want to work, right? They don't want to. So you want to find out, you want to go into, hey, I know someone who's really, mashallah, really good brother. He's honest, works hard. Let's get him. Then you go to another person. Hey, I know someone. Let's get him. I know this person. Yeah, he's got a lot of money. Let's go. And he's a good brother. Let's get him. Right? And so you bring him, and then you have a strong core group. After you have a strong core group, then you can go out and you ask for more help. Brother, we have an organization here. The president is this. This is the secretary, the treasurer, right? Now if you help out, okay, somebody wants to help. Okay, come join. Right? Come join. Okay, alhamdulillah, you come and he's not good. Let's say he doesn't help. Say, brother, you know what? We've already sat here. You don't want to help out. You know, just we're okay. You know, we're okay. We don't need your help. If you're going to do that, you know, we want people who are serious. But if he started from the beginning, what's he going to do? No, I started it also. No, we're going to break it apart. And you're going to get nowhere. Right? So you have to have strong core group where people you get used to first. So in Islam, The people who started at the beginning, who? Abu Bakr. Then Abu Bakr goes to the people whom he knows, like Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, Abu Ubaid ibn Jarrah, and all the people who are like really, really good, really close, and who are very, very sincere. Let's deliver this message to this person and that person. So next time, if you want to start something, find the people that you can work with first, and then you can bring other people in. And once you can bring other people in, and then you already have a strong core group that you can work with, that you can trust, and so forth. Because if you don't do that, you know, there are things that will happen. I told you about a person, about a community. One of the brothers got together. You know, they wanted to build a masjid, and you know, they got to mashallah, like they did. They were able to, to the point where they went to the government, and the government gave them land. The government gave them land, and it's like a huge piece of land, one of the most expensive piece of land. And if you build the masjid, all you need to do is just get the money to build it. We'll give you the land, right? You know, because in some countries they have different rules. You know, especially when it comes to like religion, sometimes they're more open and they'll donate. You can use it. You know, the churches of course take advantage of this, right? But they can't just say it's only for Christians or Jews only. Right, and so the Muslims were given a huge piece of land, and everybody, and they all you have to do is just collect money, and you're responsible to build it. So the brothers got together. They have this piece of land in the best location in the country, right? And it's huge. It's not small, because right now that piece of land, there's a mall there. They built the mall, so a huge piece of land, right, to build the masjid. Then the government gave. The Muslims, and they collected money. Then they got enough money. Right when they got enough money, one of the brothers, he took all the money and he went to his country and left. Took everything. He left the country. He took all the money and left the country. Why? Because you work with people, you start calling people in, that's what we need to do, and you don't know them that well. And everybody's, oh, okay, let me join. And of course, there are some people who are wolves, right? They're like waiting for that occasion. And he's waiting for all the money, right? Then he takes it all. SubhanAllah, I don't know how someone can do that. Like, does he not know that Allah sees all?
Yeah. There are some organizations, they open the offices for the people doing Umrah.
That too. Some people, Umrah. SubhanAllah, it's not just some people, yeah, they.